Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text, the first text, is Proverbs 31. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her works praise her in the gates. And Acts 10, then Peter began to speak. I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. How he went around doing good, healing all who are under the power of the devil, because God was with him. This is our text. In the name of Jesus, happy Mother's Day. This is a special day for mothers, for homes, for families, for a nation, for a church. We do give thanks for the mothers and wives who have supported the work of the church, who have shown love to their husband and children day after day. One source says that Julia Ward Howe, the author of the battle hymn of Republic, first suggested an International Mother's Day in 1872. Anna Jarvis was a lady who, because of her great love for her mother, suggested to the President of the United States that a Mother's Day be observed. One was observed in her church in 1908. President Wilson, in 1914, made it a proclamation that this should be a national Mother's Day celebration on the second Sunday in May. Today we thank God for our wives and mothers everywhere. In the earlier verses of Proverbs 31, there is a listing of different things that mothers do. It shows long hours she spends for her husband and family, the hours that she spends caring for them. The lady in Proverbs has looked into buying and selling. She is an excellent wife. And so she shares love and care to her husband and to her children. She also is loving the Lord, serving him at home and in the church. It means helping her husband to put God at the center of their life and home. Buried in a Mother's Day sermon of some years ago was a survey that some German group did about women, mothers, families. They suggested that in 1 year, this would be a family of father, mother, and two children, there are 7,000 plates that are washed. And that goes on to other details, the cutlery, the pots and pans, and then, of course, the food that is placed upon these plates and the people that are being served. So it's a great amount. It went on to talk, I think, about the laundry being done. But I know for sure it talked about how many miles this mother might make being a gopher for her family, taking children to school and to activities, going different places, shopping, and many more things. It was a tremendous amount. Dr. Dale Meyer, president of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, in one devotion talked about his mother. He said his mother settled some things by saying, "You kids are driving me batty." And he couldn't understand what she was talking about because he knew that Earl Batty was a catcher for the White Sox. So I couldn't figure out why she was saying that to them. But also she was telling them she might send them off to some school. Would she really have done that? But he said that the thing that got them was what she said, because of the fourth commandment. That's why I'm asking you to behave. in the Mother's Day devotion, he also shared another time. He was, as he was driving from St. Louis to Chicago, where his mother lived, it was normally about a four-hour drive, because of difficult weather, it became a 10-hour drive. And on the way, he was thinking of some angry things he could say to his mother when he saw her. But he wasn't prepared for her. When he did arrive, she ran out with tears in her eyes and gave him a big hug and said, "I thought you were gone someplace, that you were missing. Something happened to you." He said, "You can't lose your temper when your mother is showing her love to you." A well-known hymn points out God's love for mothers. "Now thank we all our God, who with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, from whom this world rejoices, and from my mother's arms hath blessed me on my way, with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Our parents and our Sunday school teachers taught us, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so." We're using this as a transition from the Proverbs into the Acts session. And remember that Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. In the Acts passage, the background for this is that, first of all, Cornelius, a Roman, had a vision that he should go and ask Peter to come and share more with him about Jesus. God caused a trance to fall upon Peter as he was resting one day. And three times the same vision came to him. It was of a big sheet. Inside were different kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds. Many of these were not permitted to be eaten by the Jewish people. But the voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said that he never did this. But the voice said, "What God cleans, no one calls unclean or common." Three times this happened, and as he was wondering what was going to take place, there's a knock at the door. They wanted Peter to come and go to see Cornelius. And as he went to Cornelius, he realized God is not a respecter of persons, meaning that God doesn't say, "I'll give the gospel to this group of people, but not to that one." It's for every person under heaven that are to be saved. God gives the word of God to everyone. And so we think of this, reminds pastors, DCEs, Christian people, and Bible translators, let us get the word of God out to as many people as possible. We don't know how much time we have to do that. I shared with at least one Bible class, I met a teacher from a school in the town where we lived. He came to my office to get acquainted with me. But as I visited with him, I felt I will not see this man in church very often. But God knew differently. This man then became married. I had his wife in an adult instruction class, and they came to church regularly later on with children and to the Sunday school and Bible school. A few years ago, I received a telephone call. I was surprised to hear from him. He is now working in a district office, and I was gratified to know that's where he is. But he said when he has time, he would stop by and see me someday. Thanks be to God for the encouragement that wives give to their husbands and families. Since Jesus is for everyone, it's sad to see our world. Even in our country, the news media sometimes put down the Christian faith. Around 50 years ago, there was a move to stop prayer in school. Over the course of years, it has expanded to other areas of life. Not only ACLU, but other agencies have made it harder to be a Christian. in some schools and some communities, our government keeps some people from praying in Jesus' name. Imagine, I praise the Christians who live in countries where the Word of God is not so easily shared. I attended a workshop in St. Louis some years ago, and as they were gathering names of people who were there, they wanted to have an address list so we could share information with other people that had attended that workshop. There's a pastor there from Saudi Arabia. He asked that his name not be published, nor the place where the address at which he was. Even at that time, it was difficult to be a Christian in Saudi Arabia. You could share your faith in your home. I suppose if you had some family, some friends come in, you could share the faith now. I understand that now that is completely shut down. Back to our text, even though there were Gentiles, they were given the blessings of baptism. I'm sure that there were restrictions. They were instructed well in God's Word before they were baptized. The Holy Spirit worked through the Word and the baptism to bring them to faith in Jesus as their only Savior. And that's one of the first blessings that we receive or give to our children, to bring them to the waters of baptism and also to tell them the story of Jesus day after day. Peter said to Cornelius and those with him that they would be accepted if they fear God. Luther showed a twofold meaning for this word fear. One is to be afraid of what God does, and the other is to be respective of him, to revere him so much that you do not want to do contrary to what he asks. Peter said that the one who does what is right is acceptable. This could not be said about the pagan, the heathen, or the unbeliever. Even though he or she does good things, it would not be acceptable. But a good work in the sight of God is everything the child of God does, thinks, speaks in faith according to the Ten Commandments. If you heard Dr. Schultz this morning, he also was saying the thing that was right is to confess your sins and to receive forgiveness. Surely God is blessing Cornelius and his family there. And he wants to bring peace to the world. We heard the Easter message of peace. Peace I give to you, peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe and be saved. When we share Jesus, we share the peace. Jesus said to his disciples, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Also teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." What is a story that you and I will tell others? It might be something that is special about Jesus in our life. It can be what Jesus means to us. Or it could be that we use the Apostles' Creed as a guideline to tell them the story of the triune God. In the Proverbs passage once again, the lady of the house was busy helping friends and neighbors. She was good with needlework, and she brought different items to people that needed them. In what ways have we helped others? We may visit them when they are sick, also pray for them. We may take people to the hospitals, to the store, to the church. We may bring food to them. You've heard this story or someone like it before. I was at a call meeting in Morris, Minnesota some years ago. As I was listening to the conversation, I understood that one of the members had been in a hospital in the Twin Cities and was coming home from the hospital. He was worried about the harvest that was out there. It came too late to know what had happened. But the next morning, he could look out and see the tire tracks from combines and tractors and trucks. Look out in the field to see the field had been harvested. Neighbors had come in. His wife also told him of the ladies who had come in to serve the meal. And some of them were driving the trucks and tractors as well. Well, what else can we do? We can teach, visit, pray, praise, and give thanks. My older sister had a job to do in the First English Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa. The pastor gave her a number of names each week. She was to call these names and give them the Bible verse to think about during the week. And so she faithfully did that. Today we thank God for Christian wives and mothers and the parts they play in loving husbands, families, neighbors, and the Lord. We thank them for teaching, for making a house into a home, for being examples of the home and the church. We sang, "Obey your Lord and let his truth be taught your children in their youth, that they in church and school may dwell and learn their Savior's praise to tell. For if you love them as you ought, to Christ your children will be brought. If thus you place them in his care, you and your household well shall fare." Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We'll be singing the Creed in Me.